No, thank you, Sleepy. Can you come back in an hour?
Need Sleepy.
Please go away, let me sleep for the love of God!
It's now time for the Billy C. Morning Show, part of the Billy C. Boxing Network. Interact with the show at BillyCBoxing.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C. Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri, and it's time for the Billy C. Morning Show. Good morning, everybody. Glad you could be with us today, and of course, we're glad to be with you today, this morning, this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're watching or listening to the show. Special shout out goes out to Fight TV. We're glad to be part of Fight TV, and here's the best part of Fight TV. You can get it and watch it on your handheld. That's right. Watch it on your phone. Watch our show on your phone and others. Just go to www.fight, that's F-I-T-E, fight.tv/Billy C. Just go to fight.tv/Billy C. Download the app right now for free and enjoy our show and then some other great benefits on Fight TV. I also want to give a special shout out to a new affiliate we just picked up, and we're glad to be part of the sports programming of WGIG AM station out of Brunswick, Georgia. Thanks for adding us to your sports programming, and we're certainly glad to be part of that. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located in St. Simon's Island, Georgia, which is just up the street from WGIGAM in Brunswick. Check out Sal's website, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, 912-268-2328. And don't forget, if you're heading south for the winter, swing by Sal, especially if you're heading down I-95. It's literally a 15-minute out-of-your-way drive. Trust me, you won't regret it. Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant has the best Italian food you can get, even including Italy. Check it out. If you need directions, drop me an email, Billy@TalkinBoxing, TalkinBoxing.com. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by FireFan. Hey, sign up today for free through our site. You go to our website, BillyCBoxing.com, click the FireFan banner on the left, and enjoy a different level of sports fantasy games, for all sports, that is. And here's the best part. If you sign up through our website, clicking the banner on the left, you will get the app for free. And this isn't just a trial. This is for free forever. And let me repeat that. And you get to win money just by signing up through us. Yeah, we'll see what I'm talking about. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molyneux, From Bondage to Pettis, Man of Plenty, is available right now where all great books are sold, including BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. If you're looking to get a signed copy, visit my website, www.BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the book club section. Don't forget, if you want to have it personalized or you want something specific, don't forget to put that in the comment section. I want to give a special shout out to everybody that's been buying the book lately. We seem to have a run on book sales, which is great. And maybe it has to do with Black History Month. That's right, February's Black History Month. And there's nothing better than reading this book during Black History Month. Trust me. A lot of stuff to talk about today. Hopefully we'll get a chance to open up the phone lines. I want to talk about, of course, the fight between Roy Jones Jr. and Bobby Gunn. I got some quotes from that. I think it's a laughable fight. And speaking of laughable fight, we got Adrian Broner against Adrian Granados scheduled for this week. And what a terrible, terrible card. I really don't think, although Adrian Broner is a name in this sport, I really don't think that it justifies a post-fight show. I'm having a hard time doing it, but we'll chat about that. How about Darrell Revis, New York Jets cornerback, knocking out not one but two guys in one night? I'll tell you about that. Urslandi Lara becomes a U.S. citizen, So all this BS that people are trying to say that President Trump won't allow immigrants in this country is complete BS. We'll talk about that in a second. All he's saying is go follow the regular rules like every other immigrant did from the past. And Orslandi Lara did. And he's now a U.S. citizen, so congratulations to him. We'll talk about that. We got some really good news for the middleweight division. I got more on the WBA mess, which is stems from titles. So much to talk about, so little time. Joining me right now, he's going to share my thought. Well, he's not going to share my thoughts. He's going to share his thoughts with mine. Anyway, let me just introduce him. Sal Rocky Senicola. Good morning, Sal.
You bastardized that one.
I don't know, man. Somebody slipped something in my coffee, you know.
I'll tell you.
Hey, you know what I had the other day? I was thinking of you. Somebody said, here, taste this. And they gave me some cream that they had put on top of some, pastries or whatever. And right. You know what the cream had mixed in it?
What?
Sambuca.
Sambuca.
It was good, man. It was and normally when you mix liquor in with, when you cook or whatever, the alcohol content usually dissipates. But because this was in a topping, it was right there. I was, having a couple of spoonfuls of this stuff. I felt a little buzz, Sal.
I bet you did. That's funny. That's good. I'm going to have to try that. Experimental.
Yeah. Oh, man. You add it with like regular fresh whipped cream. You make fresh whipped cream, and you add some Sambuca to it. And, man, does it have a great taste. And it's great for topping, desserts and stuff. So
yeah, we do that a lot with like Frangelico or Amaretto. Yeah, it has Amaretto. A little bit of a nice taste.
Yeah, I could see Amaretto being good, too.
Yeah.
Fight tonight. Roy Jones Jr., Bobby Gunn. This is a joke. I mean, the other day we were talking about, Roy Jones Jr. and him not hanging it up. I mean, the guy's in his late 40s, pushing 50, and his opponent, Bobby Gunn, is in his mid-40s. It's a pay-per-view, too. And the sad thing is the whole card is garbage, Sal. I just don't get it, but I got some quotes for you so you can give me your thoughts. Roy Jones Jr., and by the way, the name of the fight card is Skill versus Will. The funny thing is that Roy Jones Jr., obviously he's the skill side of it.
Yes.
His skill set has eroded, a decade ago. I mean, this is nowhere near the same Roy Jones Jr., that we were accustomed to seeing. Listen, everyone has a right to continue their career, and so does Roy Jones Jr., but, how do you sleep at night, are people really, I'm really curious, are people really interested in this fight? I mean, even the biggest Roy Jones Jr. fans, or the Bobby Gunn fans, and really, Bobby Gunn is in a situation, Sal, where he's in a win-win situation. Roy Jones Jr. isn't, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. But here's some quotes I want to get your thoughts on. Roy Jones Jr. Was asked about Bobby Gunn, specifically, being his opponent for this fight. And he says, this is Roy Jones, he says, the thing I stand for and respect and represent, I love a person who won't quit, and Bobby Gunn won't quit for nothing. He's got 72 wins with 72 knockouts in the bare knuckle business, which, I can't find any record of those fights. Maybe if he's counting him knocking out, somebody on the street corner and putting it on his record. But anyway, according to Roy Jones, he's 72-0 with 72 knockouts in the bare knuckle ring. He says, you're really a professional bully. You just beat people up for the hell of it. It's what I love. People ask me why I'm so motivated to fight Bobby Gunn. It's because what I stand for in boxing. He's in bare knuckle. I respect that. What's your thoughts of that statement by Roy Jones trying to really make Bobby Gunn out to be basically a killer?
Well, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to pump it up to make it look like, he's going to be in a formidable opponent. And truth of the matter is, you know, Bobby Gunn may possess some power, may possess some punch, may possess a chin. I don't know. I really haven't seen him box too much. But the bottom line is, Roy Jones, you know, he's going to try to elongate and promote and make this thing bigger than it's going to be. And that's his marketing. That's what he's trying to do, create some interest. And I can't foul him for that. But the bottom line is, it's not anything that I really care to go out of my way to see or pay for, let alone that.
Yeah, I really should, because so I can cover it. I just,
well, we should, and I probably will, and we'll see it. But like I said, I remember the Roy Jones of yesteryear, who was so skilled, so beautiful to watch fight, because he could do it all. He had it all, and you know, he flirted with basketball for a while because he also loved that, and he had a passion for just being excellent, and that's what you bring to whenever you put yourself out there and display. You want a passion for excellence, and you do the best you can, because you do not want to embarrass yourself, and you want to make sure that you are going to be at your all-time best all the time.
Yeah.
And,
well, yeah. I forgot about the basketball. And
did he like basketball?
No, I'm saying I forgot that he played a little hoops, and he also did a rap tune. You know, y'all must have forgot, but anyway.
I did, but yeah, I remember hearing him a little bit.
What happened to you there? All of a sudden you went crazy. When asked about his conditioning, Roy said, "I'm in very good shape for the first time in 4 or 5 years. I don't know what he calls good shape. I saw some photos of him. I think he's got a bigger gut than myself. But anyway, he says, I feel better. And by the way, he barely made the cruiserweight limit. I'll get to that. He says, I feel better than I have felt in a long time. I know my hands are full, and I know my hands are ready for battle. I know this man is coming to bring it, but that's what we live for. That's what we love. Come Friday night, we'll be ready for an entertaining fight." Bobby Gunn gave some quotes when asked what he thought about Roy Jones being an opponent. He says, "I'm born and bred a fighting man since birth. I'm fighting one of the greatest fighters who ever lived. I've seen a lot of horse crap on the internet, people running him down, saying he's too old, this or that. Why don't you guys get in the ring and fight him then? Let me tell you something right now. I respect him more today than the fighter he was 20 years ago, because he's more dangerous. He's cagey. He's a veteran. There's nothing you can do to him that he hasn't seen." He also says, when they asked about his own mental and physical condition coming into the fight, he says, "I'm coming in here to fight my guts out. I'm in good shape. I've been training hard for this one for a long time. This man's been in my head for a long time. I go to sleep with Roy. I wake up with Roy. He's part of my family. We're sick of talking about Roy. I can't wait to see him Friday and get it over with. I'm coming here to fight." And when asked about the critics of this matchup, he says, "Me and Roy are going to go to do battle. We're going to prove a lot of the critics wrong, a lot of doubters. When that bell rings, it's only me and him in there. To be honest with you, critics mean nothing. Their opinions mean nothing. Roy Jones said he'll come out and fight me, and here he is. He has the heart of a lion, but we're going to get it down. I'll shake your hand today, but I'll tell you," he's saying, "Roy Jones, we're in for a good fight, both of us. Roy Jones, you won't forget my name for the rest of your life." I think this is exactly what you're saying. They're just trying to promote this fight. I mean, the criticism isn't anything to do with the fact that anything other than the fact that this fight really doesn't have anything going for it. There's not that much desire to see it. What do you think?
Well, there's no real significant merit to it. I mean, you know, I know Roy Jones was capable of 20 years ago and what he was doing. And today, I really, you know, I've seen him do commentary on boxing, but I don't know what it's going to be like to see him in a ring again. And I'm curious. I'd like to see, but I don't know. It is what it is. You know, it's boxing has taken some of the fanfare and some of the marketing, and they've created show festivals, and that's what this is going to be. Yeah. And if Mayweather gets in a ring with the other guy, that's exactly what that's going to be. But we don't want to go there right now.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about him. As far as the weights go, Bobby Gunn weighed 197.4. Roy Jones came in just under the limit, 199. So we'll see what happens.
And Roy was a middleweight at one time and a light heavyweight and what?
Yeah, Roy won titles as a middleweight.
He won titles, I mean, and but can you imagine going from 165 or so, 160 pounds, and then you can't even make 200 pounds, 40 pounds later?
Well, in all due respect, Roy did a lot of things that, you know, first of all, he won a world title as a middleweight. Yeah. He also won a world title at heavyweight. He was a light heavyweight champion, and he was actually the first fighter since Bob Fitzsimmons to win the world light heavyweight title, then go on to win the world heavyweight championship, and then go back and win the world light heavyweight title. So, I mean,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no disrespect to Roy Jones Jr. Don't get me wrong. I love Roy Jones Jr. As a fighter, but it's over. You know, there's no reason for him to continue fighting. And what makes this fight even worse is that it's a pay-per-view. You know, so anyway, speaking of fights, Sal,
you
know I'm a Jets fan, right?
Yeah, you're a Giants fan.
Darrell Revis. It used to be called Revis Island because nobody could get to it. Now, like some of the critics have said, Revis Island is now open for tourism because anybody can go there. Last night, it was reported that there's a warrant out for his arrest. Not one, not two, not three, but four felonies, according to the arrest and police report in Pittsburgh. Darrell Revis was out strolling along at 2:43 a.m. and, according to the report, knocked out not one, but two guys that needed to be transported to the hospital. And according to the report, were knocked out for 10 minutes. Here we are in boxing, looking to get action-packed fights, and we get an NFLer in Darrell Revis. Go out and KO a couple of guys in the street. Apparently, according to the reports, Darrell Revis was identified by one of these guys who started filming him with his cell phone, and Darrell Revis didn't like it, so he grabs the phone and tried to delete the video, and another guy came to try to help this other fella get his phone back, and according to the reports, Darrell Revis popped them both, knocked them out. According to Team Revis and his attorney, said that that's not exactly what happened at all. He said that he was assaulted, that he was just looking at a piece of property that he owned over there down the street from where this happened, and he was minding his own business, and these guys came and attacked him. All I can say is, what the hell are you doing roaming the streets at 3 in the morning, you know?
Well, you know, that's it, you know. The old adage saying was, from any parent was, hey, man, if you're outside on the streets after 12:30, you're up to no good somewhere.
Right. Hey, we got some good news in the middleweight division. I think it's good news.
Yes.
Jermall Charlo, who's a junior middleweight fighter, my thoughts on him is that he's not bad, but he really hasn't. He's a monster. How he even made 154, I don't know. I mean, he looks like he could fight in 175-pound division. But it was reported yesterday that Jermall Charlo vacated his junior middleweight world title and is going to be campaigning as a middleweight, which excites me because I do feel that Jermall Charlo is a middleweight, and it would be interesting to see if he's got the you-know-whats to step in the ring with... Well, exactly. Well, listen,
Triple G.
Don't get me wrong. I love Triple G, but I'm a big fan of Daniel Jacobs, too, for fighting Triple G. So maybe the winner of that fight against Charlo. I'm sure Charlo is going to want to fight, a layup in the middleweight division. So I want to applaud Jermall Charlo for doing what I think will help the middleweight division. So there's some good news there. And now, because, you know, these sanctioning bodies can't survive without a sanctioning fee, apparently the fight that's on the undercard of the other joke of a fight that's taking place next weekend, Deontay Wilder against Gerald Washington between Tony Harrison and Jarrett Hurd, is now for the vacated IBF junior middleweight title. So, you know, the title will be filled pretty quickly. So, like we said in the beginning of the show, Ruslandi Lara is now a U.S. citizen, Sal. And I'm glad. And you know what? What makes me even happier about this situation is that it took place in the midst of all the media trying to paint the picture that our current president is not letting anyone immigrate here to the U.S. And that's completely false. What he's doing is he's trying to eliminate illegal immigration. And I think that Ruslandi Lara shows us right here that if you follow the proper channels and do the right thing, you can become American citizen. And Ruslandi Lara and his wife are both right now, as of right now as we're airing this show, U.S. citizens. So congratulations to them. What's your thoughts?
Congratulations. And, you know, that's the whole misconception and the spin of the media. And not to get too political, but, you know, all we want is having documented the due process, a documented resident or citizen, or have everything come across that, you know, when your family came over here from Italy, my family came over here from Italy, they went through Ellis Island, they had to go through a vetting process, they had to do this, do that, they had to become citizens through a long, long process, and they did it. And their day that they became U.S. citizens was so proud. They took pictures and the whole thing. It just is amazing that, you know, how the media wants to spin this whole thing. Yes, we have hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of undocumented illegal citizens here. And all we want to know is where they came from, what they're doing here, what's their background, what are they going to try and do while they're in our country, and let's get them documented. Let's get them registered. And if they want to go through a naturalization process, well, we could try and do it.
No, I applaud. I applaud him. It was his goal when he got here in 2008, and now he's a citizen. So congrats.
So congratulations, yeah. And he did it the right way. He didn't fight it. He didn't oppose it. He went through the channels and he obeyed the laws, the rules, the regulations, and that's all that the president and that's all this country is looking for. That's all.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Another fight this weekend, which I don't know if I want to do a post-fight, but I guess we're going to have to. But Adrian Broner against Adrian Granados, I mean, it's a terrible card. And the main event is Broner-Granados. The co-main is David Avanasian against Lamont, you dummy, Peterson, which actually I think is going to be a decent fight. There's also some other fights on this card that are just jokes. I mean, anybody that would pay for a ticket for this card is, I don't know, you got to have your head examined. I mean, Jermontae Clark's on the undercard. He's 10-0, taking on a 25-11 guy. Also on the card, Curtis Hill, he's 9-0. He's taking on a 5-3-1 guy with only one knockout. And Santino Turnbull, he's 3-0, taking on a 1-1 fighter. That's probably the best matchup. And also, there's a couple other fights in, you know, young fighters. Traquan Pettis is 5-2, taking on a 5-4 guy. Mike Fowler, who's Mike Fowler, if it's the same Mike Fowler, he was accomplished in other combat sports, so that might be a tougher fight than it looks. So, Adrian Broner, Adrian Granados, yes, we will do a post-fight show here, reluctantly. Hopefully, it won't be on that long. But anyway, you know, the WBA, Sal, made an announcement the other day. Not yesterday, but the day before. And they said how they only have one champion now, and their goal, since for the last couple of years, has been to, you know, eliminate all the BS champions and only have one in each division. And as of which I give them credit for in theory, but they're really dragging their feet. Like, for example, they now, and they said this 2 years ago, now they have one champion in 8 of the 17 divisions, and they're continuing to try and work it. You know, they're trying to focus on the heavyweight division next, which is even funnier because, according to some reports, there's a fight that was going to be taking place on in Germany between Olander Solis and Manuel Char for an interim WBA belt. But thank God the WBA said, no, we're still waiting for another purse bid going out between Shannon Briggs and Frezza Quendo for their regular title, which is scheduled for next week. So we'll see about that. But then they come right out and they announce that Leo Santa Cruz. Now, we all want to see Leo Santa Cruz fight Carl Frampton for the third time. Each of them have won one. And it's Leo Santa Cruz now has the WBA World Featherweight title. Well, the WBA is considering forcing Santa Cruz to fight Abner Mares for that fight, which would be, if I can't find a better term, cock-blocking the third fight between Carl Frampton and Leo Santa Cruz, which to me is a stupid move. So we'll have to wait and see on that one, my man.
Yeah, I believe that, because that's a fight that I want to see, you want to see, and I think a lot of people want to see, because that would be a trilogy. They each won one. This is the rubber match, and this is what made boxing so popular in the 70s and 80s. When we used to have the round robins, we used to have rematches all the time, and this would be a tremendous fight for boxing and for each of these guys. They each won one. Come on, step it up.
I want to. Dax sent me an article, a story that I wanted to pass along to everyone, and it's something that really I think every gym should have it, and people should take the extra time to make it happen. As you all know, Mike Towell was a fighter that died in September after he lost a fight. He was dropped a couple of times and then later passed away. And it was later revealed that he was suffering from agonizing headaches. And according to his girlfriend, he tried to get, and this is something I didn't know, he tried to get a scan, except he was refused to get a head scan. They refused him not once, not twice, but three times, and ultimately he passed from bleeding on the brain. The British and Irish Boxing Authority announced that there's a scanner that they're going to be employing that can detect bleeding on the brain, and it will be officially introduced to the sport of boxing. So these gyms could have them, commissions could have them. It could be something that could do a test to see if there's bleeding on the brain. And what Mike Towell's girlfriend is currently doing is trying to raise the money to get one for the gym that he used to work out at to help some other fighters that are there and anyone else who needs it. So hats off to that team for doing that, and this is it's a good step in the right direction. I mean, anything that could prevent a death situation or some kind of permanent brain damage should be welcomed, right?
Oh, come on, yes, it should be. You know, you and I talk a lot off air about, you know, things that would pertain to boxing, and this is one thing. I mean, if they can have early detection, or, you know, can tell if there's a potential traumatic experience that may occur in a ring if a fighter's not ready or something's going on that we can't see. Yeah, this is preventive medicine. This is something that I think should be enforced and implemented on some level that they, whatever they can.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, any preventative, you know, and I don't think a solution is like Governor Cuomo here in New York tried to do. It looks good on paper, but it's not functional. Having the insurance, doing something like that, anything that can help them. I don't want them to outlaw head shots. I mean, listen, keeping the sport the way it is, but any precaution, like, for example, in football, although professional football specifically is getting a lot of heat about head injury, college football ranks more than 20 years ago incorporated a safety helmet that now the NFL is using over the last couple of years. And the statistics show, I mean, out of all the players that play high school level football, 10%, 15% of them suffer concussions. High school. There's a gazillion high schools. Every 10 miles, there's a new high. There's a different high school that has football as part of a program. 15% of the kids that play high school suffer some type of a brain injury. And I'm talking about concussion. You know, not bleeding on the brain. When you get to the college level, it drops to 10% after the introduction of the safety helmet. So it's proof right there. But then when you go up into the NFL, 20% of the players suffer concussion or worse brain injuries. So obviously the precautions that the college football ranks did pay dividends. So maybe everyone should follow them as well. We got some emails, Sal. You ready?
Yes, sir. Let's go.
My man Jesse says, hey, Billy C, I agree that Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor is a joke. What makes Conor believe he deserves and earned a shot against a Hall of Fame fighter? How can an athletics commission give a shot to Conor with no boxing experience? I know the money says it all, but come on, this is disrespectful to boxing, to the fans, and all the other fighters.
Right on.
You know, he wants me to ask Larry Hazard about this. I totally agree with him on this. Jesse is, you know, I said this the other day, it's a complete joke. I don't know how a commission could do it. And unless Conor McGregor fought at least five fights, then you can't argue with him. And if he looked good, but, you know, coming into his pro debut against a 49-0 fighter who's arguably a Hall of Famer, come on. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. He says, I think the Manny poll to choose his next fighter is a farce because I really feel the boxing people really want to see Crawford fight Manny. How, like you said, Billy C, how does Amir Khan get these big fights? You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Manny Pacquiao fight Terrence Crawford. I just feel that all of a sudden they're rushing Terrence Crawford to keep moving up in weight. This guy is a talented fighter. I enjoy watching Terrence Crawford fight, you know, rushing him to move up in weight. Now, granted, Manny Pacquiao is a small guy. Maybe Manny comes to 140 to fight Terrence Crawford. That's a different story. But as far as Amir Khan, I don't know how he keeps getting the fights. He obviously has a big following, and that's the reason. He says, will you be at the Garcia-Thurman bout? Why is it that you don't go to these big fights in New York? Interesting question, and I'm glad you asked it. No, I won't be at the Thurman Garcia fight, and I do go to fights, but you want to know the truth? I prefer going to the smaller fights. I like the club scene. I also like going to see fights at casinos. For me to go to like a Madison Square Garden fight, even though I'm in New York, you know, I'm 3.5 hours away from the city. And for me to stay down there, it's more of a hassle. I'd rather drive all the way to Sal's. I'd rather drive 24 hours to Sal's and watch a club show and stay there than I would seeing a show in the city. No disrespect to the events. And the Barclays Center is great and Madison Square Garden, great. But then I couldn't do the post-fight show. So that's the truth of why I don't cover. Now, I've been to many, many huge fights at the Garden and everything else. The aforementioned Roy Jones Jr., I saw him fight Trinidad, Felix Tito Trinidad, as a guest of Don King, which was a great experience. But aside from that, it's a hassle for me. That's why. He says, I see Anvi Yildirim against Alexander Tsoukidas, a joke. Tsoukidas hasn't fought anybody, and he's fighting a top-ranked fighter. Anvi should be ashamed for this bout. It's not any different than anything else, Jesse. We see a lot of that, right, Sal?
Nah, absolutely. No, we do.
I mean, it's kind of a joke the way fighters move up the ranks today. And I wouldn't have a problem with it if they didn't try to bill it like they were fighting a killer, you know. But anyway, my man Mitch says he's got one correction, one question, and a comment. He says from Wednesday's show, the correction is, this is for me, he says, it's not Stephen A. Smith, it's Screaming A. Smith. And that is kind of funny. Because if you've ever seen Stephen A. Smith, he does like to yell and scream a lot. He's the black version of Mario Ronaldo, you know, except Ronaldo. Actually, they both don't know much about boxing, but at least Stephen A. knows a little about some other sports. So. He says, here's the question. You talk about Deontay Wilder's team protecting him because they know he's a fraud. So do you think Deontay realizes he's a fraud, or do you think he really thinks that he's that good? You know, I've said this many times, Sal. I think, and I feel sorry for Deontay, but I think that Deontay does think he's that good. I think that the voices in his ears have sold him the bill of goods, that he's the best heavyweight in the world. I think he really thinks he's that good, which I feel sorry for, because he's going to get hurt. What do you think?
Well, and that's the whole thing. We you and I have said this, and I will say it again. He may believe his own press cuttings, but I'll tell you what. He's getting the pats on the back, and he believes it, and it's his handlers that are making this and putting him in the spotlight and the situation that he's in. They're protecting him. They're elongating his success, and sooner or later, he's going to have to step in a ring with a real formidable top-ranked or world champion to unify something. And you know what? We're going to see all that's going to be unraveled that night when he steps in a ring with a top guy.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? They're going to cut a deal. I'll tell you right now. They're going to cut a deal with the winner of the Joseph Parker-Huey Fury fight. Now, those two guys, neither one of them are even, in my opinion,
they're not even a top 10 fighter.
No.
Anything they can to elongate this.
But that's my point. They're not even a top 10 fighter. But realistically, with all due respect, they're going to be able to say that he's fighting another world champion, and it will be a unification fight. When he wins, because I think that Deontay, based on his size, will beat either one of those guys. When he wins that fight, he's going to pound on his chest even more, saying he's the unified world champion. You know, so, it's a smokescreen that these fans, the same people that believe what the media says, the boxing fans are believing what the boxing media says, and the boxing media that's creating this, you know, picture that Deontay Wilder is good is Deontay Wilder's, their own internal media people. You know, it's a joke, and, whatever. He's got a comment. This is for you.
Okay.
He says, tell Sal that sometime between today and Wednesday, the winning 3-digit lottery number in New York or Florida will be 421-587 or 987. What's he trying to tell you, Sal? Bet the ranch on those numbers or what?
I think I'm better.
421-587-987? Yeah, and let me tell you,
I'm in Florida right now. Well, I'm down in St. Augustine.
He said sometime between today and Wednesday. He said those are the numbers for either New York or Florida. So, hey, if any of those three numbers come up between today and Wednesday, I want to borrow my man Mitch's crystal ball, because that's some good stuff if he hits those. So, good luck.
Hey, Mitch, get in touch with me if you can, if you got the Powerball numbers, because I think it's worth about $330-350 million, something like that. But Mitch, thank you for that. I'm going to try and play these. I'm in Florida right now. Maybe I'll run these for a week. We'll see.
Joel says, on your topic the other day, Mayweather-McGregor fight doesn't generate a lot of interest from the casual fan, and I think that's all the UFC, Dana White, and Mayweather care about. Oh, he's saying it does generate a lot of interest from the casual fan. Conor seems to be in control of what he wants to do with the UFC, since the new UFC owners have huge loans to pay off, and they're making the fights, as I told you, that are more star attraction than anything else. They don't want to upset their main guy. Do I think this fight ever happens? I'm not sure, but I hope not. A few people who are casual fans said to me, wouldn't Conor knock out Floyd? I would tell them, absolutely not. Floyd has taken little damage over the course of his career because of how he fights, to hit and not get hit. Well, he hits and then runs away not to get hit. I mean, that's my hang-up with Floyd. He's also has an incredible cardio, which is true. There's one thing I've always respected about Floyd Mayweather, even though I'm not a big fan. This guy is always in shape, even when he's not fighting. Even right now, he's probably in better shape than most fighters are. He says, in the two five-round fights that Conor was in, He was exhausted after the second round. It's sad Floyd wouldn't want to fight Conor for his... It's sad that Floyd would want to fight Conor for his 50th fight. I agree with you that it should be an exhibition, but there is some talk that the Nevada State Athletic Commission would agree to reduce Conor's fine for throwing cans at a press conference last year and grant him a Nevada boxing license. But it seems any state is more interested with generation of money than being a professional and seeing the dangers in this kind of fight. How do you promote a guy who's 49-0 in MMA, who's 0-0 in boxing against a against, you know, he's saying, how do you promote a 49-0 boxer against an MMA fighter who's 0-0 in boxing? I strongly feel that, and it's true. And the thing is about this is that, you know, I've seen footage of Conor McGregor boxing, and it's a joke. Floyd, this isn't even a contest. And somebody suggested the other day that Floyd might even win by knockout, even though he can't knock out, unless you're a female, he can't knock out anybody. But I think he could knock out Conor McGregor, because Conor McGregor will be exhausted after a round or two, and Floyd will break him. Yeah, he'll be breaking him down. I mean, you know. He says, I strongly feel this would be a boxing fight because Mayweather is the A side and he gets what he wants. I'm not sure it's an issue to me that Floyd's turning 40. He would school and potentially knock out Conor if they fight. Would you and Sal order the fight if you were hardcore boxing fans, meaning if you weren't in the business to keep up with the fights, guys, you have to do. And if it was the pay-per-view, price similar to Mayweather-Pacquiao, or would you skip it? It's an easy fight for Mayweather. What's your thoughts? And by the way, he says, I would like to tune into a post-fight show on Saturday. We're doing it. We're doing a post-fight show. Broner Granados, make sure you tune it in here 6 minutes after the fight. I wouldn't buy. If I was anybody out there that was contemplating buying this fight, if it happens, Floyd Mayweather against Conor McGregor, I would say don't friggin' do it. Don't waste your money on that fight. Will I have to buy it? I would, of course, have to buy it because of this show and the responsibility I have to give my negative thoughts on the fight. But I don't think it's worth it. And I think that it's a circus event. And, I mean, if people just want to see Conor McGregor do the crab walk and try to catch Floyd with a lucky shot, it's just not gonna. It's not going to happen. What do you think?
I don't know if it's going to happen. I think if the forces that may be really promote this and really think that it's going to get the vetted process of getting good fan feedback that they want to pay for it, like I said, nothing less than short of a circus event. I don't think it deserves the notches of what Mayweather is looking to account for. But I hope it doesn't happen.
If it does happen, would you, if anybody asked you if they thought they should buy it, what would you tell them? It's a yes or no answer, Sal. Why are you making it so difficult?
You know what? I probably wouldn't get it. I don't know.
Not you. I'm saying if somebody asked you, Sal, oh, great one, Sal, oh, grand poobah, oh, the guy behind the curtain, Sal. Should I buy this fight, Mr. Sal?
I'd say if you want to be entertained for a few minutes and you want to look at it, I'm a politician, Billy.
You are. you're definitely a freaking politician. All I'm asking for, sir, is a yes or no answer. Can you give me a yes or no answer?
No.
No, you can't give me an answer, or no, don't buy it.
No, don't buy it.
All right, that's it. That's all we asked for was a yes or no answer from you, Mr. Senecola. Jeez.
My tongue is 5 inches longer. I think you just pulled it with a plier.
Yeah. Oh, I thought maybe your girlfriend walked by with no clothes on. Oh, anyway, here's another email. This is from my man Johnston. He says, hey, Billy C and Sal, just a quick email. We got an action-packed weekend, so I thought I'd give you a roundup of what's coming up. He says, tonight's fights, Lennox Clarke against Barthelemy Grafton, excuse me, who's headlining at Bank Stadium in Walsall. Artif Ali against Jack Summers, main event at the Fusion Nightclub in Liverpool. I love this. I love getting what's going on the other side of the pond.
Oh, that's great.
Well, now, see, I spoke too soon because now he's going to give us a rundown of what's happening here in the States, which we kind of already know, Johnston, but I'll read it anyway. He says, we got a night in El Paso promoted by Top Rank with Jennifer Hahn against Olivia Guglia for the IBF female title. A Golden Boy production in California on Estrella TV. Robert Manurez against Gamel Diaz. And Roy Jones Jr. against Bobby Gunn, which is a joke of a fight. We talked about that earlier. He says, and Saturday night in Bethnal Green. You know, that's a place. I wish that we had enough fans in England that could foot the bill for us to go over there and cover one of these fights or do our show over there for a week. I mean, one of my goals, Sal, and dreams was always to be able to go to England and do our show for 1 week over there. I wish
you would do it one day.
Well, you're going to pay for it? I mean, you know, I couldn't.
I might.
You know,
those lottery numbers that we got.
There you go. Well, if you hit the lottery, but you know, I would love somebody to promote us to come over there and you know foot the bill and have us come. I would love to do our show there. I think that the English boxing fans would love our show and would love to see us up close. You know, and the reason why is because they're so passionate about the sport, and so are we. And I would love it. And one of the places I've always wanted to see is your call in Bethnal Green. It just seems like such a traditional boxing venue, and I would love to go. Anyway, he says we got a packed card: Asena Byfield against John Brennan, Craig Morris against Ryan Fields is taking place at the Midlands Arena. At Stroke on Trent, which is a Ricky Hatton show. In Scotland, they got Gary Cornish, who was an Anthony Joshua victim, against Rivaz Kalavishi, and Lee Carler against Zenko Zed. I'll tell you one thing, somebody would definitely have to help me with the pronunciation of these European fighters. He says, then, of course, you got Broner, Granados, and Peterson of SCN. I guess they're going to be seeing it on Box Nation. So he says there's also fight cards in Casablanca. That's another place I'd love to go. Italy, Kenya, Hungary, Spain, Canada, Mexico, Russia, and Germany. A busy weekend, he says. Obviously, we won't be able to catch all the fights, but I'll send results if you guys are interested. Yes, we're interested. I'll tell you what you can help us with, Johnston. Any fight news and fights from the UK. We used to have a UK correspondent, a couple of them actually, that fizzled out. But I would love to be able to report more on the scene over in the UK specifically. And, you know, if you have the time and you want to get a column up on our website, I'd be glad to do it. Drop me an email and we could discuss it. Thanks for the email, my man Johnston. And yeah, he also forgot. You forgot a couple of other fights. Jose Feliz against Jonathan Macelio. That's on Unimas. We'll keep you posted on those. And like I said, speaking of posted, we're going to be doing the post-fight shows right after the fight on Showtime between Adrian against Adrian. But anyway, one more email. This is from my man Mike from Michigan. He says, I don't find Danny Garcia. You know, I always like reading Mike's emails. You know, sometimes he goes off a little bit, but right off the bat, this first sentence, tells it like it is. He says, I don't find that Danny Garcia and his nutball dad versus Keith one time, then circle, then a strike, right hand, then another time, then circle, jab, etc. I don't find it as an appealing fight. However, a whole lot of people do. He says, I'm far, far, far more excited to see Triple G against Daniel Jacobs. I'm crawling out of my skin, and you know I love Triple G, but it's so hard not to root for Danny Jacobs, which I agree with my man Mike here, Sal. I mean, I just said it earlier. Daniel Jacobs, I have more respect for Daniel Jacobs than most fighters in the sport today. Because Daniel Jacobs, although I've accused him of being a fraud, just like Deontay Wilder, this guy wants to challenge himself. He's stepping up. He's taking on the challenge. He's fighting, arguably, in my opinion, the best middleweight in the world today in Triple G. not these fighters today don't do that. They don't take those chances. Winner, lose, or draw, Daniel Jacobs is tops in my book just for having the balls to fight the fight that people want. You know, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Daniel Jacobs. Right now, Daniel Jacobs, he's my man. Because he's a throwback. Daniel Jacobs is a throwback because this is what you were talking about it with the other day. I don't know. I can't remember if we were on air or off, but you were saying that, you know, fighters tried to challenge themselves and test themselves by going after the best guy just to show that they're better. And that's what Daniel Jacobs is doing, Sal.
That's right. Win, lose, or draw, the guy has the balls, get in the ring with arguably the best fighter pound for pound today. And I'll tell you what, my hats and hands off to Daniel Jacobs, and you know what, I'm going to be pulling for him, even though I love Triple G. I want Daniel to do a great job, and he's got a great cut man in his corner, too.
That's right, that's right. He does with cut man Captain Rella, right?
Yes.
He says, anyway, it's hard not to root for Danny. He's just seemingly a good man. As Triple G also is seemingly a good man. Both are good ambassadors for the sport of boxing. And I do hope if Triple G blows Jacobs out, that people who pulled the race and hype cards shut up for at least a little while. If Jacobs wins, I'd be happy also. You know, so would I. So would I. If Daniel Jacobs wins this fight, I'm not going to knock him. I mean, I'm going to be glad. And I'm not going to knock Triple G for losing. But I'm going to be glad for Danny Jacobs. Wouldn't you, Sal?
I sure would. You know what? Because like I said, there's a guy who's testing himself and going in a ring. And you know what? Maybe he knows something we don't know. And you know what? He could be watching those films. And every fighter sees something that he feels when he steps in a ring that he can try to expose or try to offset or try to counter or try to beat another fighter. When a fighter steps in a ring, he is confident he's going to show that he could beat another fighter. That's it. That's why it's a fight.
He says, it's such a good fight. I know you don't make predictions, but do you see Virgil Hunter having any real influence on Jacobs? I don't think. He says, I don't, and I think Hunter's overrated, period. I believe Abel Sanchez, when he says, once Triple G touches you, things change. Are you as excited for this fight as I am? And he says, and by the way, whatever happened to snow? We used to get as much snow as you guys did when I was a kid. You can have all the snow we got. But I tell you the truth, I think Virgil Hunter is probably the most overrated trainer out there right now. I think it was actually a bad move for Daniel Jacobs to bring him into the training camp. And I'll tell you why, Sal. I think that, you know, consistency and comfort, the comfort zone, is the most important thing a fighter could have in their corner when they undertake such a huge challenge as Daniel Jacobs has undertaken against Triple G. So I think I would have kept everything the way it was, even though, I believe, isn't Daniel Jacobs' trainer Andre Rozier, who I think is terrible? So, I mean, even the guy sweeping the floors at the gym knows more than Andre Rozier. So, even with that said, I probably would have kept things just the way they were. You know, I don't know if Virgil Hunter, you know, Virgil Hunter is, if he tries to change things, maybe they're bringing Daniel Jacobs in there. Virgil Hunter in there for Daniel Jacobs to help him defensively. I don't know, but for the biggest fight of his career, I would have kept things the way they were. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, and that is funny to say that because, you know, a fighter has to have confidence in his cornerman and his team, and unless he, you know, flirted with looking outside of what he was used to as far as having his norm. And he's comfortable, and he can accept the changes, and he's walking them, you know. Like I said, that's for Daniel Jacobs to decide and to own for himself. Yes, I made some changes sometimes, and I know when Richie Jacchetti showed up for one of my ESPN fights, and I was completely shocked. I was just talking to Richie. I had no idea Richie Jacchetti was going to come work my corner on ESPN that night, and when he came out, I was like, wow, And it was pretty good because I knew Richie, what he was capable of, and he took command right in the corner. And you know, like I said, you have confidence. You know who the people in your corner are. I've had some corners that whenever Don Turner was in my corner, whenever Richie Chiquetta was in my corner, you know, all these other guys, it was great. You feel you have a good comfort zone, and you feel you have people you can count on if you got a cut, if you need this, if you need some good advice, if they see something you don't see. So, yeah, that means the difference. Now, Jacobs might have confidence in this corner. You know?
Well, whatever works.
I
wish him luck, and I'm looking forward to the fight. Hey, Sal, let me ask you a question. What's the last thing the sport of professional boxing needs?
Well, I could go across the board on
just
that.
Give me what's the most, what's the last thing we need?
Is this a trick question? I don't know. I can answer.
I'll give you a hint. You wear it around your waist.
Yes. Yes. A belt. Another belt.
Hey, you're pretty sharp there, Sal.
Did I get it right?
You got it right, Sal. You're pretty sharp. I can't pull the wool over your eyes. I mean, you know. It's just what we need, another belt. So, the WBC, they're creating one. Can you believe this? WBC announced yesterday that they are handing out a new commemorative belt to the winner of the Saul Canelo Alvarez and the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight, according to Mauricio Sulaiman.
Come on.
He said that this that they're having fans choose the design, and it's going to be a new belt called the Don Adolfo Lopez Mateos belt. And the first winner of this belt is going to be the winner of the Canelo Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight. And okay. Are going to give out more of these belts as time goes on. And it's predominantly going to be for catchweight fights. This fight is being fought at 164.5 pounds, and it's a catchweight, even though it's a super middleweight, or even though the super middleweight division has a maximum weight of 168. This will be for a catchweight. It's you know, just what boxing needs. Another friggin' belt.
MMA?
What?
I'm just joking. Do I have to start looking at MMA? I can't believe it. Just what they need is another damn belt for a catchweight. Get the hell out of here.
I think it's a joke. So WBC handing out another. Now remember, the WBC also had the diamond studded Super Mongoose belt too. So you know, I mean, listen, you know, all these sanctioning bodies, they're going to have a belt. You know, the guy who has the longest hair belt, the guy who's the squeaky clean belt, the guy who didn't take a shower for the longest time belt. I mean, give me a break. It's a joke.
You know, let me tell you something. I often said to you and John when I made my comeback fight a couple of years ago that I feel like boxing today, I felt like Rip Van Winkle. Instead of I fell asleep for 20 years, and I woke up, and it's a different world.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You got weigh-ins the day before a fight. You got the rounds cut down to 12. You got different. You got heavier gloves now. You got this. You got that. Whoa! What the heck? Whatever happened to boxing at its purest level?
Yeah, well, it's you got to go back before your career. But anyway, a couple of other fights I wanted to announce real quick that are signed, sealed, and delivered. This one had been announced, but it's just one that I want to remind everyone. Now, it's not for a title. It's not for a title that I would mention, but a couple of heavyweights that are, you know, trying to work their way into title contention are meeting each other, which is something that I love. Travis Kaufman, who's 31-1 with 23 knockouts, who I don't think is the greatest heavyweight, but nonetheless he's a heavyweight, is going to be meeting a tough guy who spent some time in the slammer, and amassed a record of 22 wins, 2 losses, and a draw with 16 knockouts, Amir Mansour. Those two guys are meeting in the ring on March 17th in Pennsylvania, and I think that this is going to be a good fight. Two evenly matched guys. I think Kaufman is in a tough one. Mansour got stopped in his last fight because he bit through his tongue, And people were critical of that. I mean, he bit through it, all right? I bit my tongue the other day, last week or so. It hurt so much. I look like Gene Simmons, for God's sake, spitting out blood. I couldn't imagine what this guy, what it felt like when he bit through his mouthpiece, through his tongue. And they were critical that he couldn't continue. His corner was even mad at him.
Uppercut?
I forget the punch. It's probably. I forget the punch, but he bit right through his lip, and then his corner was critical, and then the press was critical. I mean, I don't know. I think he should take all of it. And this is a tough guy. There's no, you can't deny that Mansoor is a tough guy. I think Kaufman's going to be in with anything, or all he could handle on March 17th. So I'm looking forward to this fight. Another fight that was made official. We've been talking about it, but for the WBC World Featherweight Championship, which right now belongs to Gary Russell Jr., another guy who's been criticized for his easy track to a world title, is taking on a pretty good fighter in Oscar Escandon. They will officially announce this fight coming up in another day or two, but the date has already been set. It's going to be taking place at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland on Saturday, March 11th. Unfortunately, I'll be up at the Turning Stone on March 11th, and I want you guys to be there too. Make sure you show up at Turning Stone for a great card. The main event, Curtis Stevens against David Lemieux. I'm going to be ringside. So get yourself some tickets. The best way is to visit our website, www.billycboxing.com, and click on the fight poster, which is on the right-hand side. Turning Stone is a great place to watch.
I would have been flying up for that fight myself. We went to the Turning Stone last time I was up there, right?
Yeah, well, I tell you what. If you're going to do that, you got to let me know, like, by tomorrow. And if you're definitely going to do that, let me know, and I'll put some things in place for you, my man. But anyway... One other thing I wanted to mention here before we wrap it up, Sal, and I apologize, we didn't get a chance to open up the phone lines. We had a lot of emails and some news to talk about. But I don't know if you caught this, and I touched on this a couple weeks ago, but next Friday night, and we'll talk a little more, Showtime is going to air a documentary. It's called Prison Fighters, Five Rounds to Freedom. And basically it's Muay Thai in these Thai jails, and it's an opportunity for convicted prisoners to fight for freedom. Now, there's nothing preventing a guy from fighting. In other words, this isn't just for some guys that maybe got arrested for drunk driving or some shit like that. I mean, these are guys that there's a guy in jail for murder that's getting an opportunity. And they get to fight their way, and the ultimate prize is they get freed. And Showtime's going to be airing this show. It's called Prison Fighters, Five Rounds to Freedom. And I got to be honest, I'm pretty interested in watching this. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, we've heard some fighters in the past that have fought from prison. Who was it in the 80s? Was it or 70s? James Scott?
James Scott. I used to love watching James Scott.
James Scott was a whirlwind, man. Bernard,
a lot of guys. Well, he fought Trent, right in jail.
What is that jail? I don't know.
Wadawa?
I thought it was Trenton for a state prison. I don't know.
No, it was...
That's a state. But he did fight, and he fought, and he... I remember CBS, I think, used to show his fights, or somebody used to... one of the networks, he would fight on a Saturday in prison, and, you know, it was like a combination of watching The Longest Yard, Burt Reynolds style, and something else. You have the prisoners, you have the whole
I knew Coach was gonna Rahway. I don't know why it's going my
Rahway.
Rahway.
State prison.
That's where he fought. And you're right. I used to watch that. I used to be glued to the TV because it was so intimidating to see the barbed wire and all the prisoners watching him. And he did real good until he until he lost, and that was it. But I was going to do an interview with James Scott. He's free now. He got released. He was in jail for murder. He got released, and he's not doing that well. He's a guy that is suffering from some brain damage, and he's living in Jersey with his brother right now. And I always liked James Scott. We did a blast on him. But anyway, hey, don't forget. We will be doing a post-fight show, reluctantly, but we will be doing a post-fight show right after the Adrian Broner against Adrian Granados fight on Saturday night. So make sure you tune it in here approximately 6 minutes after the official announcement is made, and we will be here to give you our thoughts and then open up the phone lines for your thoughts. So I'd only anticipate this being a very competitive fight. It's a horrific card, and I think that Adrian Broner, a guy that I was a huge fan of, has totally fallen off the charts. I don't know. I think
did
it's.
Did you write him when he was in prison?
What's that?
Did you write him a letter when he was in jail?
No, I didn't. Even though he wanted lots of letters, he wanted his fans to. I think he finally got one, but it was actually for the inmate next to him. But anyway,
did you have a ribbon around a tree or anything?
Yeah, all of a sudden, I can't even hear you. Are you talking into the...
Did you tie a yellow ribbon around any tree?
No, I did not. I did not tie any yellow ribbons around. No dang trees. But how about on this day, February 17th, 1976, Kochi Ojima knocks out Jay Do-yo in the 15th round to regain the WBA junior middleweight title, and that took place in Tokyo. On this day in 2001, Andrew Six Heads Lewis knocks out James Page, who's currently doing time right now for robbing banks. They called him the gentleman robber, I think, because he wore a tie. In the seventh round, to win the vacant WBA welterweight title, took place in Vegas. On this day in 2001, Eric Morales wins a 12-round decision over Gutty Espedatus to win the WBC featherweight title, and that took place in Vegas. On this day in 1991, Michael Carbajal knocks out Marcelo Santos in the second round to retain his IBF junior flyweight title. It took place at Caesars Palace in Vegas. I love watching fights. I loved watching fights at Caesars Palace in Vegas. That's where all the big fights were. And finally, on this day, February 17th, in 1941, Sal, Joe Louis knocks out Gus Durazo in the second round to retain his world heavyweight title, and that took place at Convention Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on this day, February 17th, in 1941. I just want to remind everybody, don't forget to tune in right after the Adrian Granados against Adrian Broner fight this weekend. We will be doing a post-fight show. I will warn you now, I may be about 5-6 scotches under the weather just to try to stay up for that fight. But we will do it as we promised, and we will be making some other great announcements in the very near future about some changes to the show, physical changes that you'll see. And once again, we want to give a special shout-out to our new affiliate, WGIG-AM. In Brunswick, Georgia. Glad to be part of their sports programming. That's all I got today, Sal. Any final thoughts from you?
Well, I'll tell you. No, I think we'll see with these fights. I'm curious to see what Roy Jones is going to possess, and I think that skill versus will leave us guessing, but we'll see.
You think I should
nothing?
Do I have to get that fight? I mean,
I'm curious. I'm almost curious because I want to see what Roy Jones is going to do out there. I like Roy Jones. I mean, he was a great fighter.
God.
So now, I don't know.
Damn it, Sal. Now I got to watch this damn fight.
I might have to buy it too, you know? I don't know.
I don't know. I recommend nobody else buy it. Let them get two buys, me and Sal. I mean, come on.
That's right. That's right.
I'll feel you. You know what? I'll even mention this fight on the post fight for the other stupid fight this weekend, Adrian against Adrian. We'll talk about that. But, hey, I'll leave everybody with this. Make sure you tune in Saturday night for the post-fight show. But then again, Monday morning, same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da